Hello again, Bernie Miklas here. Welcome to another Bernie Show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you for your support. Please subscribe if you're just passing through. It doesn't cost you anything to subscribe and tell your friends and family and anybody else about it because we're growing, we're doing well. I'd like to get into some other stuff as we go along, but still on the ground floor. That's the way I kind of look at it. So anyway, what I want to talk about today is I'm sad. And you say, oh, is something wrong at home? Or did you get some kind of bad health diagnosis? No, thankfully, no. I'm sad because I'm watching the Major League Baseball postseason. And I see, you know, all of these great crowds and all of these different cities. And I see these rivals going at it and seeing, you know, grand slam home run by Francisco Lindor to eliminate the Phillies. Seeing these brawls between, not literally, but these brawls between the Dodgers and the Padres who can't stand each other. You see the great crowd in Kansas City. You see the great crowd at Citi Field in New York. You see the heartbreak of teams that have gotten eliminated. You see drama, you know. And I got to tell you, it makes me sad because I miss it here in St. Louis. And I'm sure I speak for many of you. I miss having those scenes, those thrilling October games, those high and even low moments, and the kind of nonstop, relentless drama that is a big part of postseason baseball. It makes me sad that the Cardinals aren't part of it and really haven't been all that relevant in the postseason for a long time, with the exception of the one series they won against Atlanta in the NLDS back in 2019. But if you permit me to talk about a few things related to this, I tell you what, it doesn't help. It doesn't help to look around the MLB postseason landscape and see all these ex-Cardinals running around and even native St. Louisans running around, like Matt Vierling, the Tigers outfielder, Devin Williams, who came to an unfortunate end in the Brewers series loss to the Mets, but St. Louis guy, you know, I see, I even think about some of the players who got away, players who never were here in St. Louis, but they got away. Like I see Fernando Tatis Jr. and I think of his father, former Cardinal Fernando Tatis Sr., who at one point recommended, he made some calls to the front office in St. Louis and said, listen, you know, I'd love it if you people come take a look at my son. He's going to be really good. Well, we know what happened there. I see Bryce Harper, and I can't think of like how he would have been a perfect fit in St. Louis, the star that they needed, somebody bringing swagger to the team. Kyle Schwarber was sitting there, didn't lift a finger. I think of, you know, even this past offseason, you know, who would you rather have, Seth Lugo or one of the guys that the Cardinals signed? So, yeah, I'm being a little silly because I'm thinking about what could have been. But I also look at players who were in the Cardinals system, not with the big club, but with in the Cardinals system, who have appeared in the postseason. David Peralta in Baltimore. Ramon Urias, who the Cardinals designated for assignment, never played here. He's a valuable utility guy in Baltimore. Lane Thomas is in Cleveland, hit a 3-run home run to win a game earlier in the playoffs. You got Marcelo Zuna, you got Tommy Edman, Jason Hayward, Harrison Bader, Tommy Pham. I know Paul DeJong was not on the Kansas City postseason roster, but he's part of their team. And you look out on the mound and you see Jose Quintana. You see Luke Weaver, who's actually turned into a hell of a bullpen guy for the Yankees. You look at Jack Flaherty. I'm not revising history on him, though. That's a little pathetic. And then people are like, oh, see, the Cardinals screwed up with Jack Flaherty. No, they didn't. And it's to the point the Dodgers may not even start Jack Flaherty in this pivotal or this winner take all game five against the Padres coming up on Friday. So anyway, and I'm sure I left some names out. Of course, you've got Mike Schilt as the manager of the Padres. They may win game five on Friday. They may lose it. But Mike Schilt's done a hell of a job this year. It just sort of brings it on home. It's like all these former Cardinals or St. Louis connections or people they could have had and put in their uniform. They're all running around this October for other teams. And I think about the big picture, like the big picture, what I mean by that, how the Cardinals went from the highest level. I mean, just an amazing run of success in the postseason to next to nothing. I mean, it's extremes, extreme highs and now extreme lows. And let me go over this with you real quick. So I made some notes, like from 2000 through 2015, that's 16 seasons. The Cardinals appeared in 125 postseason games. That was more than any team in the major leagues. 125 postseason games. They won 65 of those games, which was number one in the major leagues over a 16-year period. It's just amazing. And then they also, during those years, 2000 through 2015, 16 seasons, the Cardinals played 60 postseason games at Busch Stadium. 60. Tied for first with the Yankees and the most by a National League team. 2000 through 2015, the Cardinals won 38 home games in the postseason. Number one in the majors. No one else even really all that close. So, think about all the extreme highs we were on, going down to Busch Stadium. I'm covering every game. I couldn't wait to get to the ballpark. I know you all felt the same way. You couldn't wait to get down there and join the sea of red and maybe have a beer or a hot dog and just wait. What's the next great moment going to be, right? Who's going to be the hero today? How will the Cardinals get through this? And before I go back on memory lane some more, I just want to point out the aftershock or the downturn or the demise. So I told you about 2000 through 2015, 16 seasons, where the Cardinals were basically the most visible and successful team in the postseason over that long time, even though they didn't win, you know, the most World Series or anything like that. That's not my point. My point is just the nonstop action and the fact they're on the stage all the time and they didn't miss making the playoffs all but a couple times. And they played in all these great games and just high drama, wonderful memories. We'll get to that in a second. Now, the other side is since 2016, and we're talking nine seasons, the Cardinals have appeared in only 15 postseason games. That's tied for 15th in the majors. And they've only won four postseason games in the last nine seasons. So they won 65 over 16 seasons, followed by four over the last nine seasons. And they've had, we talked about all the great, the fact that they had all those home games, 60, 38 wins, 2000 through 2015. The Cardinals, since 2016, have had only six home games, and they're 1-5. They're 1-5. They won one home game over the last 9 years in the postseason. One. Again, extreme high, extreme low. And I'll save some other comments about what's next. But I'm going to do something because I felt like doing it. I made some notes this morning, because I was reliving some of my personal memories as far as just moments, just incredible moments from the Cardinals from 2000 through 2015 in the postseason. I'm going to miss some, okay? Seriously. So you fill in the blanks for me in the comment section. You tell me some of your great postseason moments as a Cardinals fan, watching it from 2000 through 2015. I jotted down a few things, and again, not meant to be an all-encompassing complete list, because there's so many great moments that the Cardinals had in the postseason over the 16 seasons that, yeah, I could catalog them all and sit here and talk for 2 hours, but I'm going to some of my personal, you know, high points of things I really enjoyed watching, witnessing, and writing about and talking about. David Freese, Game 6, 2011 World Series. Do I need to say more? I don't think so. What an incredible game. Adam Wainwright, a rookie closer, wasn't supposed to be the closer. Jason Isringhausen needed to have hip surgery, so Waino stepped in. Tony La Russa said, you can do this, and he did. He saved the game. Waino saved the clinching game in all three postseason rounds. I was sitting to Shea Stadium, Game 7 of that 2006 NLCS, and it looked like I thought the place was just going to fall down. I mean, we're in the press box at the old Shea, and we're literally shaking. Like the thing, the Mets fans are going nuts, and the pounding was so much that it was making the press box shake. And it really looked like the Mets were going to pull that game out. But then came the most famous curveball in Cardinals history, Wainwright, Freese, and Carlos Beltran. And I remember writing a column about it, and I referred to it as, like, you know, in a little nod to Simon and Garfinkel, who are New Yorkers, the sounds of silence, because I never heard a ballpark go from highest decibel levels maybe ever I've heard in a ballpark to total silence after Waino struck out Beltran. Sounds of silence, man. Shea went quiet in like 5 seconds. 2006, I thought one of the coolest things I ever saw was Anthony Reyes, who got the ball because the Cardinals had that exhausting series against the Mets, and they had to give the start to somebody else. They didn't have one of their frontline starters available. So Anthony Reyes comes out, and he outpitches Justin Verlander, and the Cardinals beat the Tigers in the World Series Game 1, which set the tone for everything. And, of course, we know what happened. 2004, the Cardinals are in deep, deep trouble against the Houston Astros in the NLCS. Jim Edmonds, with the Cardinals facing elimination, hits a walk-off homer in extra innings, and I can still see that ball soar. I mean, it was a rocket. It was like a majestic scene. It really was something else. So Edmonds keeps his team alive in Game 6, and then Game 7, you got Jeff Suppan out-pitching Roger Clemens. You got Scott Rowland hitting the go-ahead two-run homer to break a 2-2 tie. And you had one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. It would be on the very short list. Jim Edmonds maybe saving the game, because at that time the Astros had a lead and they were trying to build on it. And Brad Osmus hit a rocket in the gap that I didn't think Jim Edmonds could get to, but he got to it. He made that sensational catch, and that probably, well, not probably, that set up all things that came after that. But without that catch, woo, I don't know. I don't think it would have looked too good for the Redbirds. In 2006, and I know I'm jumping all over the place, like I said, it's not a catalog. You know, I didn't have like a file, put everything in order. Stream of consciousness. One thing about 2006, in Game 2 at Shea Stadium in the NLCS, the Cardinals were about to go down. And they would have gone down. Had they gone down, they would have been down 2-0 in that series. And frankly, I think the Mets would go ahead and win after that, up 2-0, right? Remember the home run that So Taguchi hit off Billy Wagner, who was one hell of a closer? Remember that? I believe it was in the 10th inning. I didn't look up every information, but I believe it was an extra innings home run. Correct me if I'm wrong. But a very unlikely guy to hit a bomb like that. So Taguchi, and especially off Billy Wagner. So the Cardinals win that game. They pull it out and stabilized everything, restored their confidence. And we know what happened the rest of the way. 2005. Brad Lynch, slider, Albert Pujols, Houston, boom. I know the Cardinals, that won the game, is one of the most dramatic home runs I've ever seen and one of the great moments of Pujols' career. I know the Cardinals didn't take that and win the series. They lost when they came home to St. Louis, final game ever at the Old Bush Stadium. But just as far as a moment that just took your breath away, that was it. Now I'm going to hop back forward to 2011. Pujols, the singular most epic game he ever had in his career. A three home run game in game three of the World Series with the Cardinals in danger of going down 2-1 to the Rangers. Pujols had 5 hits, 3 home runs, and 6 runs batted in. This guy had so many great games. None were greater than that one solo performance in game three of that World Series. Let's hop to 2014, National League Championship Series. Clayton Kershaw throws Matt Adams a curveball. Dodgers are leading 2-0. It looks like the Dodgers are going to maybe win this baby, right? Cardinals were in trouble. So Kershaw throws a curveball to a left-handed hitter, Matt Adams, who didn't exactly do very well against curveballs in 2014. And I can't remember the stat. It was either the only home run he hit all year off a curveball, or it was the only home run that Kershaw gave up all year on a curveball. But Matt Adams, in the twilight, see, I'm getting poetic. Matt Adams, in the twilight, hits a 3-run homer to give the Cardinals a 3-2 win. Big city, tip of the cap to you, sir. The 2012 NLDS, Game 5 at Washington. Adam Wainwright, bless him, he did not have his stuff that night. And before I could even get settled into my chair and have everything spread out and like really start to lock in on the game, the Cardinals are down 6-0. It's winner take all. They're down 6-0. And I'll tell a story. I remember, because I wanted to get home, you know, I didn't want to like get stuck in DC the next day, right? So they get down 6-0. I go online and I book a flight back to St. Louis first thing in the next morning. And that's like the reverse jinx, right? Because we all know what happened. So, yeah, little did I know, in a couple, 3 hours, I'd be changing a flight again, this time flying all night to San Francisco on the red eye for the start of the NLCS. But that game, when they were down 6-0, they came back and rallied for a 9-7 victory. It's one of the great comebacks I've ever witnessed, certainly Cardinals baseball. And if you remember, there were a couple of unlikely heroes in that game in terms of very late when the Cardinals tied it and then took the lead. You know, Daniel Descalzo and Pete Cosma, like who had them in the lottery pool, right? But that's why that team was special and why so many Cardinals teams were special. And I didn't leave out this one, and I wasn't doing the save the best for last. But one of the most enthralling pitching duels I've ever been privileged to watch in my time in terms of Cardinals baseball and what was at stake. It was, in fact, the greatest pitching duel that I witnessed all my years in St. Louis in a high-stakes game. Of course, I'm talking about Game 5 at Philadelphia in 2011. Winner take all, Chris Carpenter against Roy Halladay. We remember what happened. Both of those guys were outstanding, and they just kept putting up zeros, zeros, zeros. But Chris Carpenter made the one run he got, a pretty early run. He made it stand up. And I remember sitting, covering the game, of course, in Philly with my late great friend and colleague, Rick Hummel, the legendary Kamish, baseball Hall of Fame writer. And I said, Kamish, I'm prone. I admit it. I said, you know me, man, I get emotional. So I'm prone to overreact to things, right? You've been around a long time. You've seen a lot more high stakes baseball than I have. Is this one of the greatest pitching duels you've ever seen? What Chris Carpenter's doing here, is this one of the greatest single game pitching performance by a Cardinals starting pitcher that you've seen? And I expected him to say, well, you know, take it easy, Pally, you know, that kind of thing. He said, no, this goes to the top of the list. He said, this is incredible. And keep in mind, the commish was not one for hyperbole, but he even said, yeah, this one. And I remember we were driving back to the hotel after the game and the commish was saying it again. He said, boy, I've seen some wonderful things just in terms of just being privileged to watch it. That one goes right near the top if it's not at the top. So, again, all those incredible memories, and I have left out a lot of them, not by scratching them off the list, but I just wanted to reach back and think, just kind of pull things to the front and center that I'll remember forever. And I know there were many other great postseason moments. And that's why I'm sad, too. We don't have those moments anymore. I mean, in fact, the last time the Cardinals had a couple postseason games at home, you know, they got beat by the Phillies in the wild card round. They blew game one because Ollie Marmol didn't intervene when Ryan Helsley was falling apart with a 2-0 lead in the ninth. And then the Cardinals lose that game, and they basically turn into robots the next night. There was no emotion at all. Their confidence was zapped. And they lose to the Phillies 2-0. I mean, so the last home game that's been played in the postseason at Busch Stadium, the Cardinals didn't show up. I mean, there was nothing there. And they were going against a pretty damn good pitcher, too. We must acknowledge that. And then before that, the last time we saw them in the postseason was the 2019 NLCS. And they got swept. They lost the first two games in St. Louis. And they couldn't hit at all, and they got swept out of there by the Nationals. Four games. So when you contrast the doom and gloom and just how depressing it's been, first of all, there hasn't been enough postseason games. That well has gone dry. There hasn't been enough at home. That well has really gone dry. And all the memories are basically bad, except for when the Cardinals routed the Braves to win the LDS in 2019. Remember, they put up, 13 runs in the first inning? Then they moved to the last, to the next round, they can't score. So it isn't just that we haven't seen many games. And again, we haven't seen many victories. And that's true at home. And I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. Since 2016, the Cardinals have won one postseason game at home. And it's just sad. I keep saying it. It's just sad. Listen, the great times don't last forever. I get that. I'm actually pretty mature and grounded on that front. I was responding to a lot of your comments last night. I was up to about 1:15 a.m. See, I'm making an effort. And sometimes I look at where the Cardinals are now and I think, it doesn't excuse the fact that the ownership and the management let this thing fall apart gradually. And with that came sort of bye-bye to postseason success. All right, that's out. There's no excuse for that happening, okay? But if we want to be realistic about it, that incredible era obviously was going to have an expiration date. And we can pick different expiration dates if you want. But think about it. When you have, and this is going to be, you know, an impartial list, not impartial list, sorry, incomplete list. When your franchise is led for as long as the Cardinals were led in no particular order by Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Chris Carpenter, Tony La Russa, Dave Duncan, Hall of Famer Scott Rolen, you had Jim Edmonds, a Cardinals Hall of Famer, you had other Cardinals Hall of Famer, you had so many great players, even the ones that weren't here for a massive amount of time. But if you know, Carlos Beltran, his two seasons here made tremendous impact. He's a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion. All the great closers they had, all the great relievers they had. I mean, on and on and on and on. I mean, that era was just rich with talent and also just rich with winning players. guys who got on that October stage, and man, they were in their element. That's where they belonged, and they couldn't wait to get after it, right? And nothing scared them. Nothing. Even if they're down in a series, they're down in a game, nothing scared them. Adam Wainwright's on that list, of course. That's what I mean when I'm trying to freelance and do this off the top of my head. A guy like Lance Berkman coming in 2011 and doing what he did. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. The point is, when you have an era that is so extraordinary, a 16-season era, and I include 2015 because even though they got beat by the Cubs in the postseason, that team won 100 games, right? They deserve to be mentioned there. But when you come, when a remarkable era of baseball comes to the close and the curtain falls, right? You're not going to be able to repeat it. You're not going to probably even come close to repeating it because it was a special time and place, and there will never be, I don't think, anything like it again. But what bothers me is they let this thing fall apart in a way that was much more damaging than it should have been. They couldn't have replicated that era. I'm not saying that. They couldn't have. And anybody, if you all say that, then I have to tell you, you're wrong, but that's all right. Believe as you wish. There's no way to sustain that ridiculously high level of success. But they didn't have to let it slip this far down. They didn't have to let it just sort of become just this one depressing thing after another and all these flawed rosters and managers who, you know, made mistakes in the biggest moments and hitters who have come up small, who can never replicate. We wouldn't think they could ever replicate with what Albert Pujols and Jim Edmonds and some others did during that magical time. But some of their biggest players, and I hate to, you know, dump on them, but Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado's teammates never won a postseason game, and they were a big part of the reason, 2-for-22 in their 0-3 record as teammates in the postseason in St. Louis. So I'm sad because I'm really enjoying watching postseason baseball, but and what makes me sad is that the Cardinals aren't in it, and what's really sad is that I don't know when they will be back in it again. They're entering a soft rebuild, a moderate rebuild, however you want to classify it. It's going to be huge odds for them to make the postseason in 2025, maybe 2026. I don't know how it's going to go because I'm not sure what exactly they're going to do this offseason that'll set the table for what's to follow, not only into 2025, but 2026. So you can't sit here and accurately assess, well, when's the next time they can become a postseason factor? I don't know. And that, too, is sad. I don't know. Were we spoiled? I was spoiled. I'm going to speak for myself. No, I wasn't naive to think that what we were able to witness, what we were privileged to witness, was going to last forever. I never thought that. Of course, nothing lasts forever. But it just makes me miss those days. And, you know, even if we just had some of that to look forward to, even if we had some of that over the last 9 seasons, even if we knew that the Cardinals, boy, they've reset. And here they come. But we don't know when that will be, and we're trusting that they'll do it right. So, man, the sea of red is quiet in October. It's not there anymore. You got empty seats at Busch Stadium during the regular season. You know, you have fans of completely justified in being upset and disillusioned. And contrast all of that. To the extraordinary excitement and success that we were privileged to watch from 2000 through 2015. Here's to better days. That's lame, but that's all I got. If I left out any memories, you put them in there for me. And appreciate it, as always, your comments. I'll be back later, I promise, here on The Bernie Show.